אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר זוהר.
We are reading from Zohar for All, the introduction to the book of Zohar, article the 10th commandment, item 238. You are invited to ask questions at kab.tv. Selected questions will be live. Again, reading from Zohar for All, the introduction to the book of Zohar, article the 10th commandment, item 238.
Together with us are Kvutzat Ava, Natanya, Cholon, Young Group, and the Petah Tikva Group, 37 people that are now working in our new building, and also many other people that are doing a lot of different actions and dissemination all over the country. Yes.
The first portion in the Tefillin is Sanctify me to me, every firstborn. This is Yud of Havaya, holiness, meaning Chokhmah, the firstborn of the upper holy ones. It is the first offspring of every womb. Through that fine trail that comes down from Yud, opens the womb to bear fruits and offspring as it should be. This is the upper holy one. Upper Abba ve'Ima are implied in the Yud of Havaya. Yud implies to Abba, and the filling of Yud, Vav Daled, implies to Ima. Partsuf Abba and Ima is called holiness and called firstborn. Yeshsut and Zon are called holiness only when they receive the holiness from Upper Abba ve'Ima. Hence, Yud of Havaya is called the firstborn of all the upper holy ones, who is the firstborn of all the holy Partsufim of Atzilut. Since the Kedusha, holiness or sanctity, for the Partsufim of Atzilut extends from Abba ve'Ima, because the light of Chokhmah is called holiness. Abba ve'Ima, Mem in Tselem, are Chokhmah of Atzilut. Since Chokhmah Stima'a, the blocked Chokhmah is dresses in them and disappears in them. Hence, they are only pure air, light of Hasadim, since this Chokhmah was hidden in Rosh of Arichanpin. The Partsufim can receive Chokhmah only from Bina, which returns to being Chokhmah when she rises to Rosh of Arichanpin and unites there with Chokhmah Stima'a through Abba ve'Ima. Then Bina is also called Chokhmah as well. And this Chokhmah is called Chokhmah of the 32 paths. Thus, even Bina, which returns to being Chokhmah, is called holiness only because she receives from Chokhmah Stima in Abba ve'Ima through her ascent to Arichanpin. It is all the more so with the rest of the Partsufim of Atzilut, which receive only from this Bina, which returned to being Chokhmah. That fine trail that descends from the Yud, the first offspring of every womb, it opens the womb to bear fruit and offspring. It is so because it is regarded as three discernments, head, torso, and trail. Its first upper tip is called Rosh, head, which is hidden and clothed in Upper Ve'ima. The guf, body of the Yud, is called torso, implying to Partsuf Abba ve'Ima themselves. The bottom tip of the Yud is called trail, implying to the Yesodot, plural of Yesod, of Abba ve'Ima, at the end of their Partsuf, and it is called a fine trail. However, the name trail relates primarily to Yesod of Abba, since Yesod of Ima is called path, as it is written, and your paths in the mighty waters. It is so because when the abundance in Chasadim is great, they are called mighty waters, where through the zivug of trail and path, which never stops, mighty waters flow unto the worlds ceaselessly. And before Partsuf Abba ve'Ima was established in a connection of trail and path, no abundance was imparted upon the worlds. Opens every womb with that fine trail that descends from the Yud. The path of Ima is called a womb, since all the Rachamim are given out from there. Before Abba ve'Ima were established in a joining of trail and path, it was blocked. It opened only through the fine trail of Abba. This is why the fine trail is called the first offspring of every womb, which opens the womb to bear fruits and offsprings, since first offspring, petel, means opening. From the time the fine trail of Abba joins with her, Ima gives out fruits and offspring abundantly, as it should be, as it is written, and your paths in the mighty waters.
Questions?
What does it mean that even Bina that returns to being Chokhmah is called holiness? Bina is something complete. How is it? Does it return to be Chokhmah again?
What do you mean?
It says that when Bina returns to being Chokhmah, it is called holiness. Bina is something perfect, complete. How does it return to being Chokhmah?
It becomes the nukva to the chokhmah and brings the chokhmah within it. That's called shvilcha b'mayim rabim, and your paths in the mighty waters. It means that the path, it's led through that inside a trail. And the chokhmah itself, it exists in the Rosh of Arichanbin. But the bina that came out of the Rosh of Arichanbin is clothed from the pe down to its tabu in the Garon. So it also gives the, as if sponsorship, the strength to that place to receive the illumination of the Chokhmah. And then the Abba and Ima, when they clothe on the Bina that came out of the Rosh of Arichanbin from the Pit to the Chazeh, there is a kind of an illumination of Chokhmah coming from them too. And that illumination of Chokhmah is called the Path. And he says that mainly about the Abba, whereas Ima, it's Chasadim, it's the path. And the connection between the Abba and Ima, he makes this kind of a connection in which it brings out the tip of the Yud, the lower tip of the Yud, the tip of the lower Yud, which spreads in this very thin way downwards, and takes care of the lower ones. The mechanism is very simple. We have only two qualities, Chasadim and Chokhmah. And there's nothing special here, only that the Zohar every time depicts maybe a bit different states and style of talk, of speech, but the principles, they are very simple. That's all there is to reality. The influence of the light over the desire. Therefore, if you want to see these two forces and the way they reach equivalence of form, wanting to reach this very basis that there are only two forces, and I want to know now in what way do they connect or separate now. So everything becomes simple.
You talk about two forces. I know that Bina is Shabbat. Bina is something very sublime, high. It's something perfect.
Bina is bestowal.
And you're saying two forces. What do you mean when you say two forces? What does it mean that Bina returns to being Chokhmah?
Bina returns to be Chokhmah, that it rises to a state that in itself it can bring the light of Chokhmah to different places where this is needed, even though she is not intended for it because she doesn't need it. Ima, that needs to give the oil of Chokhmah to her kids, she goes to Abba, gets the oil of Chokhmah from him and brings it to them. She has these roles where she is included in Abba and then she's included in the children. Because she is Chafetz Chesed, she can be in each and every possible state. The main thing is to bestow unto Abba, which is completely Chokhmah, and can't move from that. And in the light of Chokhmah, he is opposite to the children. And to bestow onto the children, because they can directly receive from the Abba. In the light of Chokhmah, the bestowal of Abba is clothed in the Chasadim of Ima. The role of Ima is to be Ima and Abba, because she is the one that connects between the lower and everything which is above them. Try and pass these things on. Try to pass these things from your mind to kind of a feeling, kind of a depiction. It's very important, because that is what draws the reforming light. The more you look for yourself in it, for the feeling, and if you work with your mind, that's it. You're clogged, you're stuffed. You move on to sketches and some dead discernments, and that's no longer the wisdom of Kabbalah, but wisdom in the nations believe.
I personally, in my spiritual work, draw the Chokhmah, the Bina, to return to Chokhmah, or does it happen automatically? How does it work?
You and your spiritual work, when you study these things, you want for them to influence you in the form of the reforming light. When it'll work, you'll see. When it'll influence you, you'll see what's written here and not before. Therefore, if you're thinking about understanding now what it says, instead of yearning for the reforming light, that's not good. One has to be inside the other. That you yearn to understand, meaning that the heart understands, that you yearn for your heart. Through reading, it will open up, soften up, will start showing you different actions, and as a result, you'll understand what it says. That's called studying Torah and not wisdom. Yes.
Maybe regarding the intention from Italy and from Guadalajara, we have the question, what should be the intention during the reading of the Zohar when you have friends that are busy in physically building the new home, friends from all over the world going out to disseminate to the 99% to build a new world? So as we study the Zohar, what should be our intention as we have all these friends who are busy in all these things?
That we're all together. You can also say that about the whole world. There are friends now building the new building. There are friends now in the field disseminating. There are friends all over the world, in all continents, that are really, they're doing different actions in integral education. They're gathering their friends that are preparing the Congress in Romania. Bulgaria. We saw that there is that a new place, a new center opened up in Armenia, in Yerevan, in Moscow, and in Peter too. Many groups, they moved to a new place. Los Angeles too. And so, we see that we're improving, and especially because of these actions in which we come out of this state in which we were studying only amongst ourselves. When we come out, when we're coming out from this onto the mass dissemination, we'll see big changes, and I hope that these changes, they will be very powerful for sure. The main thing is that, nevertheless, to keep the friends so that they'll understand that the main thing, like we're talking about it today, the actions, they have to be actions of bestowal, and the intentions, even though it's an intention that I want to benefit, I want to get this world, the next world, be smarter than everyone, more understanding, more whatever. The intentions, they may be egoistic. the actions, if I do them together with a group, according to what the Kabbalists tell me, by that I draw the reforming light, and eventually this is what will give me the preferable result.
Another question about the intention in the study. If during the study I have sorrow about the fact that we don't succeed in dissemination to create an easy, clear explanation that will be accepted by people's hearts, and it blocks me so much that I can't really hear the lesson, what should I do during the Zohar?
We're experienced and we know these things. A person undergoes many states, and sometimes I sit on the lesson, I'm completely disconnected, and sometimes I sleep, I really sleep. There were such things, such times. It barely happened, but sometimes it used to happen. And the Rabbah, he used to, you know, kind of kick me under the table or pull my sleeve. I used to fall asleep. Even though it wasn't that much because of the tiredness, but it's a state of mind, you know, your mood. We know this, that sometimes you can sleep for 2-3 hours and it's enough, and sometimes you sleep for 7-8 hours and you're dying to sleep. So it's not about the physical strength. What do? Effort as much as you can. I'm telling you in advance, as much as you can. Not taking pity on oneself, but to agree that there are such states, that this is how they were arranged for us from above, where I'm incapable of doing anything. So I come to the lesson and I say, now I'm going to sleep. And I go to sleep. I'm not against that, you see. I never make fun of or yelled at someone who's sleeping. No, because it's okay. He can't be about it any other way this time. But he's present, he's here. The foreign thoughts that go by during the lesson, that pass through you during the lesson, it depends on the preparation. It's very important, what foot do you wake up on? Do you wake up to the right or to the left in the morning, or on all four? I'm telling you seriously, what does that mean? The very first thought that you have. What thought do you go to sleep with? What did you read before sleep? You can watch soccer. But 5 minutes before you go to sleep, you have to read something that kind of shakes you up from within in the right direction. And to fall asleep with that. It's like the Krishma on bed. Do it. Something that I really respect. There are these verses that are called the reading of Shema in bed. And so on. Very good. And then you will wake up with good thoughts. And with these thoughts, you'll keep them till you get here. And here, even though you go to sleep, you fall asleep. You have a good preparation. And listening to the lesson, you'll get better intentions. Or if foreign intentions will come to you, they will come as... they'll come momentarily. You'll be able to find, discover them, depict them, chase them away. That's the work. But the main thing, nonetheless, is the action. To sit, prepare the lesson, make sketches, write everything, perform mechanical actions that will help you make the lesson. Also, make the circle that you're in the group, even if you'll have this form that will remind you about it, that you're in the circle with the others. Look, Niva is already drawing a circle. I'm talking and he's drawing. Very good. And I have to have this form in front of me for it to truly be engraved in my mind. And only through it I want to look at the world. It's like I have these glasses in my mind through which I see the world this way, because that's its true form. I want to see everything all the time through the center of the group. Yesterday I talked with Bensi on the lesson yesterday. How is it called at 6 p.m.? Worlds meet. Sounds danger, frightening meeting. The meaning is, how does this world maybe encounters the spiritual world? Who watched the lesson? Really? So, we drew circles there, that we have a circle, which is the circle of Ein Sof. And the line, the line through the middle that builds the middle point. And here you have the worlds, Akatzilut, Buya, Yetzira, Siya, and the point of this world, known to everyone. And in the point of this world, there is another breakthrough here. And our world. So it's our world, and we talked about it, that this is where the Big Bang came from, and our world was created from the central point of all the worlds. So here, we have the nations of the world, and here it's Israel. And here is the point in the heart. The center of the group. Israel, Bnei Baruch, the intention meaning, the meaning, those who aspire for the truth, and the nations of the world that are undergoing crisis. And then, by going out toward them, that we awaken them toward a better life and the way they mean it, according to the desire that they got from above, we get deficiencies from them. And by these deficiencies, we yearn to the center of the group and the Creator even more than what we have, because there's a limit to the extent to which we can unite and demand the Creator. We see that we need an external pressure. The external pressure, it can come through suffering, that's called Beito. And then, really, there can be big problems. And if we come out to the broad world and we get the deficiencies from it, for it, and through these deficiencies we can turn to the center of the group and the Creator and ask for them, then it's called the path of hastening, and this is how we can progress. and by gathering in the center of the group. By this, we discover in the center of the group the central point of all of the worlds, and we start climbing the ladder degrees from below up. There was a descent from top down. This is what we learned, the wisdom of Kabbalah. These are our roots. Afterwards, the development of humanity. This is, you know, the whole evolution. And now, this is Aleph, and this is Bet, and this is the Gimel. This is how we return to the final correction, the first, second, and third states.
125
degrees. And the inscription or the definition of the connection. We don't yet understand the intensity of this word. What is there so much about it? It's not simply that Bala Sulam divided his article into Matan Torah and Arvut. That take the Matan Torah, see what I give you, but the condition on which you will receive it is on account that you keep the Arvut.
Bill Becker from Texas is asking us, what should I do if I listen with my heart, but the more I listen with my heart, the more I get upset, the more I become agitated. Where do you get the force to rise above that from?
That's true. The response is correct. First of all, that's fine. He gets mad at the world, at me, of course. If he's my student, there are those that can't take it. They run away. Then they curse me from afar. It's natural. What do you do? He lacks the actions. His wisdom is greater than his actions, than his deeds. He has to do something. As a result, our forming light will come, and instead of this simply an inner kind of pressure and intensity, it'll give him advancement. It's like a car that you hit the brake and gas together, and it's kind of, you know, all edgy in this state. You have to let it go, release it, give it space to work.
According to what is it determined how much the light that reforms will affect me in the actions that I'm performing? We're now performing actions. In the actions that we're performing, according to what is determined, how much the light that reforms will affect us.
The reforming light, it works to the extent to which you're integrated and included in the desires, not the desires, but how to say, the deficiencies, the suffering of foreign people. What does it say about it? He who sorrows himself with the sorrow of the public, he merits the comforting of the public. That's what it depends on. Therefore, coming out to the public, working with them, and whatever they are, what is the sorrow of the public? Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, things of this world. But if you are sorrowful about this, then through them comes to you the comforting. Only in a corporeal earthly manner does the wisdom of Kabbalah reveal till a final correction. We have to discover the Creator here in this world, which is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world, meaning in the form of reality, which seems to us in whatever we call corporeality. Yes?
Throughout the day, we carry out dissemination. Let's say that throughout the day, I accumulate sorrow for the fact that we don't succeed in making our explanations easier, simpler. Then the next day, I come to the lesson. What do I do with this sorrow during the lesson?
It's good that there is sorrow about this. You regret your sorrow for the public that through you they can't get contact with the Creator because you are incapable of bringing it to them in the form that they need it, that they can perceive it. It's like a baby. It looks at you. He doesn't understand you. A dog or a cat, they look at you, they don't understand you. What do you want from them? And you tell them, why did you litter here and there? Why didn't you clean yourself before you came into the house? This is what you tell the dog, and he, poor thing, doesn't understand what you want. He wigs his tail, he shows you that he's your friend, but that's it? How can you turn to him? You have to nonetheless lower yourself to a state where you will understand his degree because he can't come up to you. But if you're on a higher level, you can make this regression. We have to learn how to do it. It's a method. This method is called teaching. How can a teacher bring himself down to each one of the students and explain to him in a way, in a form, in a shape that they will understand? It's called pedagogy. It's the upper that clothes in the lower. And you have to try. It's not simple. The more a person develops and understands, he has the ability, he has a greater ability, more strength to explain these things to the lower ones. In our world, a teacher for the first, second, third grade, he could be, you know, I even heard that in Israel there are plenty that didn't even finish university, and they're allowed to teach. Do they take courses or something, or simply so? What? I don't know. In spirituality, you can't. In spirituality, you nevertheless have to be understanding, connected to the spiritual actions. You have to somehow feel on the inside. On the inside, there has to be this complete model that you make this zoom on the inside and you bring the right, you bring it in the right cut, shape, form. Even though that you go to beginners, you nonetheless have to be. In short, the higher the level, the more you have the ability to lower yourself onto the students in a better way. It also depends on the natural form of a person. There are those that, you know, they are great. They know how to talk. And there are those that don't know how to tie two words together, even though on the inside they have this great, big, fulfilled heart. But I'm talking about spirituality. Nonetheless, it's sure that the authors of the Zohar have much greater possibilities and opportunities than I do. Were they to reveal in our times these souls, then of course, we'll soon discover them.
My question is following the action. Following the action, let's say that I regret that I wasn't able to make the explanation simpler, closer to people. The action is done already. It's finished.
No point in regretting it. What happened, happened.
So that's what I'm asking about. That sorrow accompanies me. It comes with me into the lesson and it...
No. That's a shell.
So what do I do with it? That's my question. Let's say that's what I feel. What do I do with that feeling? How do I relate to it? What do I do with it?
None else beside him. You did what you could. If not I for myself, then who? Now, none else beside him. There is no point in regretting the past. It's swallowed into the past. It's not up to me. The Creator did it through me. I tried to be in it as much as I could. And whatever I succeeded and didn't, by that he sent the action to me and he wanted to discover that I'm not with the extent which I'm not with him and the next action, to what extent can I be with him. And now it's forbidden for me to think about the future states. The past was formed in any possible way by me. I must think that the Creator, he was the one who acted and did all of this through me. For the future, you can say this, but about the past, it was the Creator who did it all. And that's how it is in life in general. I regret the high school days or in my kindergarten or what I did or in the university or in life altogether, including yesterday and maybe even today, the passing moments. Forbidden. Forbidden. It's like a person who is about to die. What does he say before that? The life I went through is actually not my life. It wasn't me who went through it. It wasn't me who did anything. The way the higher thought gave birth to me, the very same way I was led through different actions. Now I'm ending these actions and I'm about to reach the next state. However, in each and every state that a person is in right now, not in a few moments, no point in planning for the future. It's nonsense if a person he plans for future years. Now we're discovering this truth in the world more and more, how incapable we are of making any long-term plans. I have to simply be cleaved on to the moment in which I am and cleave it on to the Creator. A moment before or a moment after, that's lack of adhesion, lack of bestowal, lack of faith. Any future state, that's it. It's up to him. You cleaved on, and that's that. What else is there to do? Make your desires his, make his actions, make your actions as his, and that's that. Otherwise, what? It's very simple. But about the past, it's a big shell that gives us these pictures from the past and with this big sorrow. How did I do that? How did I hurt? How wrong I was? And so on and so on. This is known. I went through it too. Everyone does. There's no one thing that someone goes through it and another doesn't.
You read about what you say, but there is something that...
You regret something in life too?
No, but I'll tell you what happens. What did I learn from life? And I think it's true for many people here. The actions of the past the actions, like you said now to Oren, actions from the past, as if this is a shell, you must not think about it. But those actions brought you all kinds of implications that you're in nowadays. So in the actions from the past brought you the state that you have now. So what should you say? The Creator did this, the Creator corrupted these things. He's going to correct it. You don't correct anything, or, you know, you're in the same boat of the same problems.
Of course the Creator will correct. Of course the Creator corrupted it, and I have to merely ask and say thank you for saying what He corrupted, and say thank you for now asking Him to correct. Everything is in the hands of heavens besides the fear of heavens, besides relying and hanging everything on Him. What's wrong with that?
But He hasn't corrected it yet.
He didn't correct it because you didn't ask.
Well, every day you ask, you praying, asking for the light.
Probably these requests are incorrect.
So what should I do?
Examine for these pleas and requests to be correct. But I'm telling you, you're not boss over the past or the future. You're boss over the present, to the extent to which you have the ability to choose between the path of pain or the path of Torah. To the extent to which you ask the Creator to perform the correction over yourself, please correct me so I'll be in mind and heart, in my entire essence, for me to be cleaved onto your providence. So I will not disappear in this flow, in this current, but in mind and in heart and in all of my strength and forces to be in equivalence with you, with what's happening.
So you're expecting me to sit here and be passive and just ask for the light of reforms and not perform any action to correct it?
No. In order to reach this kind of a serious thought, you have to perform all the actions. You have to use everything that you have in this world, everything you have in this world, really. You have to build plenty of things. You have to change society. You have to make revolutions, rearrange life, arrange the kids, work, prepare everything for foreign people, bring them closer. You have to do plenty of things. Besides, in the group, you have to awaken the friends. You have to create the good conditions for them, create the best possible conditions for them so they can be together and study and everything. You have to take plenty of actions, both mental and inner external. Why? In order to connect all the future moments and the moments that have passed and the current moment to the one force operating in the creature. That's it. That's the work. That's called the work of the Creator, that He does, and you justify everything that happens from all your kelim, from all of your inner discernments.
Justifying, that's fine. To reach justification of the Creator, that's fine. The question is different. If I am now in all kinds of implications from the troubles that I had in the past, and they project on today, you're in the same trouble today, the same troubles that you had in the past, how can you now, you know, what should you do now to join with the friends that will solve my problems? What should I do?
Anyone who blames does it because of his own flaws.
I'm not disqualifying anyone.
What you have to do is to participate. If you're asking to the point, participate in dissemination. Participate in dissemination. That's it. There are none as wise as the experienced. Go out and meet the public, not your audience from your organizations, not them, but the audience that our organization meets. I'd like to see you doing it, how you do it.
I'll invite you and you'll see.
I'm sure you can succeed. Okay. Owen, maybe we'll read a bit.
239. The second portion is, and it shall be when the Lord brings you. It is the Hey, the Havaya, which is Bina, the palace. Her womb opens through the Yud in 50 hidden openings, corridors, and rooms within it. That opening which the Yud made in that palace is to hear the voice in it, which comes out of the shofar, the horn, Bina. Since this shofar is blocked on all sides, and the Yud comes and opens it to bring the sound out of it. And when she opens it, she blows it and brings the sound out of it to deliver slaves to freedom. This is so because the Hey of Havaya implies to Parzuf Yeshsut, Lamed of Tselem, a tower that flies in the air. This is the palace whose womb opens through the Yud in 50 openings. Since Abba and Ima are blocked air that does not open, the Mem of Tselem, a ring on their Mochin. And the Yud does not come out of their Avir, air, in such a way that they impart the light of Chokhmah. Hence they give out only pure air, light of Chasadim. But Yeshut, Lamed of Tselem, Bina, are considered a palace. Her womb opens through the Yud in 50 openings, giving Chokhmah to Zon through their ascent to Rosh Arichanpin, where the Bina turns to Chokhmah. This Bina is called 50 Gates of Bina, since in it are Kachab Zon, in each of which are 10 Sefirot, thus 50. Also, each of the 50 Sefirot divides into rooms and corridors. Hagat are called rooms. Nehi are called corridors, indicating that they are not vessels of reception for themselves, but letting out and letting into the rooms. The second portion is Tefillin, and it shall be when the Lord brings you, implies to the Hay of Havaya, the palace, whose womb opens through the Yud, Yeshut of Atzilut, whose womb opens to impart Chokhmah unto Zon. This is the opening that the Yud made in that palace, to hear in it the voice that comes out of that shofar, since the shofar is blocked from all the sides. It is so because when Yeshut, Bina, participated in Malchut, the three Sfirot Ele, which are Bina and Zon of Guf of Yeshut, went down to Zon of Atzilut, and the two letters Mi remained in Yeshut. Subsequently, by raising man, she lowered her bottom hay from her Nikvei Enaim to the Pe, as she was prior to the association. At that time, the three letters Ele rise back to her, and the name Elohim is completed again. Zon rise with the Ele that rose back to Bina. Even though the letters Ele have already risen and connected to the Bina, and the name Elohim was completed, it is still considered that the name Elohim is deep and hidden, since there is only light of Chokhmah in it. An illumination of Chokhmah cannot be received in Ele except through clothing of Chasadim. Hence, it is considered that these letters Ele are regarded as a shofar, in which the Zon that rose with them to the Bina, regarded as sound, are dressed. It is so because they are the ones who raise with them the Zon to Bina, as they are included in them from the time of Katnut, and they carry the Zon, the Zeranpin, within them. This is why it was said that opening that the Yud made in that palace is to hear in it the sound that comes out of that shofar. The Yud, which are upper Abba Ve'ima, give upper illumination to bring down the bottom hay from Nikvei Naim of Yersut back to the Pe, and raise the three letters Ele that were in Zon, reconnecting them to the Bina, as they were prior to their participation with the Malchut. It follows that the Yud opened the palace of Yeshut to give Mochin to Zeranpin from the Shofar, which are the letters Ele that she raised. This is so because the Zon, too, rise with the letters Ele to Bina when they receive Chokhmah. Hearing in it the sound that comes out of the Shofar, Bina, to emanate Zeranpin with the Mochin of Gadlut, called a voice, and whose emanation is regarded as making a sound.
let's focus a bit more and concentrate ourselves on the connection between us.
This shofar is blocked on all sides, both from chasadim and from chokhmah, since the letters ele, which are called shofar, fall in the place of zon and are blocked there from both gar and light of chasadim. Hence, they need two corrections. One, to elevate them and connect them to bina, so they obtain their gar, light of chokhmah. Two, to give light of chasadim in them, so it becomes clothing for chokhmah. The Yud came and opened it to bring a sound out of it. This is the first correction, that the Yud extends the upper illumination, the superior illumination to the Hay, the palace of Yeshut. This lowers the bottom Hay to her place and elevates Ele with the zone within them, connecting them to Bina. Thus they obtain illumination of Chokhmah, which is also Mochin to the Zeranpin, which rose with the letters Ele. However, the illumination of Chokhmah is still hidden and does not shine due to the absence of Chasadim. For this reason, it is considered that the sound has not yet come out, meaning that the Zeranpin has not yet been born. It was said that Hay came and opened it to bring a sound out of it. That is, to bring the sound out of it is the second correction. But now it has not yet come out. When she opened it, she blew in it and brought a sound out of it to deliver slaves to freedom. This is the second correction, since after he opened the gate, connecting the letters Ele with Zon back to Bina, where they obtained light of Chokhmah, he blew in it, meaning that the Yud blew air into the Shofar, since Avir, air, is light of Chasadim. And since the shofar, the letters Ele, received Avir as well, meaning light of Chasadim, he brought out and begot the Zeranpin, sound, and brought him out to his place complete. This is so because through the clothing of Chasadim, which the Yud blew, Chokhmah could clothe in it and be admitted into Zeranpin. Hence those Mochin that Zeranpin obtained, the voice, delivers slaves to freedom. That is, Zeranpin gives his illumination to the worlds, and then the children of Israel are rewarded with Mochin of Gar, which are called freedom.
Questions.
A student is asking us, how is it possible not to think about the past when the memories simply float and come up?
I can't tell you how to do it. I know that it's very hard, but you have to understand that it's a game. The extent to which you ascribe your whole life to the Creator or you don't. As simple as that. Do you at least accept that there is none else beside Him? Accordingly, you have to decide. Did you do what happened in you, or did He? And the same for the future. Everything depends on the Rishimot that will reveal and the lights that will shine on the Rishimot. In between, you can determine to what intensity and in what way will the light work on the Rishimot. The only thing we have is the light of the Rishimot. And here you can kind of make a matching between them, coming closer and connecting. That's for the future. But for the past, what happened? Everything was done by the Creator. And that's how it was supposed to be. In advance, this is how it was planned. And that you know or don't know, or you could or couldn't do, it's not. This is not what it speaks about. You can't say that for the future. You're still not in the two worlds where this is how you can talk. You can't connect the two opposites in the same place. But about the past, You have to say that I did not operate, didn't do anything, but everything was done by the Creator for my benefit. For His.
Shiro from Atlanta is asking about the future, about...
And to cleave on to that, to be in peace with the future, and the moment of, for the future, and the moment that you agree on being in peace with about the past and all those thoughts, how I was with him or with that, and I lost, and here I lost money, here I lost an opportunity in life. Such an action, plenty of things. And it's opened to you on purpose, not in order to see all these events that you did or did not go through, but it is all in order to complete your attitude toward the higher force, that only it works in reality. Yes?
So regarding the future, Chedu is asking whether the efforts to be to cleave onto the Creator, that is actually the preparations that we're doing in the present. So do Kabbalists live in the present?
This window that we are creating in the present, he writes about it in the letter of in letter number 16. The page is unrelated because tomorrow you'll make a book and it'll be on a different page. So you have to say letter number or a letter that was written on the following date. Don't tie it with some page. If you talk about a page, you have to talk about the when was it printed and so on. And then you have to go and you have to write it down in the book that it was previously on these pages and now it is on those pages. Humanity already arranged all of these things. How to find places, the index.
Student is asking us, what should I do? Asking you, what to do if we have longing for the group from the past and I can't connect to the current group where I am?
That's a shell. If to some extent I turn to the to the future, it's fine. I want to be cleaved on to the future. Depends on what kind of future, but it's the future nonetheless. If I turn to the past, that's it. I become a salt pillar. I'm Lot's wife. It's forbidden to look at the past because what does he look at there? There is nothing good about the past. There is nothing good about the past. He is only looking forwards. Or, you know, it's like the old people. In the past, I did this and that. Right, Zvika?
Oh, yes, in 1948, I remember.
Right, in 1948.
Ivan from Chile is asking how to reinstate the importance of the morning lesson, which kind of wears down after many years. The taste disappears after a while.
I'll tell you. The morning lesson is a place for the dwelling of the higher light. You come to a gas station and you get charged. That's the morning lesson. During the day, you have to gather all the different deficiencies for the reforming light, spiritual force, proximity with the Creator, scrutiny and criticism, to formate the picture of the world and your attitude and the world that's working on you during the day. I have to see this form in which you turn. How unclear it still is to you, and how corrupted it is. And when you come to the morning lesson, this form has to clear up through the reforming light. In feelings, emotions, thoughts, in all aspects. If you have no preparation for the morning lesson, it becomes formal. This is Zohar, this is test, this is that. And then it's a complete loss. If you don't come with the right deficiency, you don't get the right fulfillment from the lesson either. And what you get then is wisdom and not Torah. Torah is called the reforming light. So you either study Torah or you study wisdom. And this is something that you have to say according to your intentions, according to the deficiency that you prepared for the lesson. Moving on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.